Well, let's open our Bibles this evening as we do in John 3:16. And let's read John 3:16, 17 and 18 together out loud. It's good because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now, since we're on this theme, let's turn over to John 13. I'd like to read that this evening again. John 13, let's read together verses 34 and 35, because we're in the book of John. And we're right there by chapter 14, so I think it's a good segue here this evening. "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." And I was sharing on Sunday that a disciple is someone who is a follower of, a student. But I also shared something that I think is appropriate. It's someone who is disciplined to become like. So somebody who is disciplined to become like who? Like Jesus. And so when we obey his commandments, we've been given a commandment to love one another as he has loved, as I have loved you, and that you also love one another. So we've been given some directives, some commandments to, in this case here, love one another, but we've also been given a command to go into all the earth, all the world, and to preach the gospel. Now since we're there, let's go to John 14, and I want to read verses 10 again, 10 through 14. It says, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask," that also means, you can look it up, it means to demand or require, "in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." And he says it again, "If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." And then look at verse 21. "He that hath my commandments," and that also, if you look that up, it just means to regard or to give place to. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." That means he'll reveal himself to him, to those that regard or hath or and obey. Now, one of the things I want to add to this evening, and you can see here that Jesus, all the works that he did, he's saying here that we've been authorized. This is what he's saying here. The works that I did, you're going to do the same thing and greater works than these. So right there, he's authorizing us to do it. He's giving us a command to do that. He's authorizing us. But he's also saying here that whatever you ask in my name, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to go to the Father and do it. So we're in the same, just the same way he, the same process, the same thing he did, whatever he heard the Father say, he inquired of the Lord, and whatever he heard him say, he did. So he was just the same way that Jesus was given an assignment and authorized by the Father, we are also authorized now by Jesus to go out and do the works that he did and greater works. So we're authorized to go out and do that. Now, one of the things, and of course we shared the other scripture, that we're to let this mind that was in him be in us. Now, this evening, I want to pick up, and all of these things, this is where I wanted to lead to, is to start picking up on the subject of faith again in this. Faith in what? Faith in the words that the Father speaks to us. Because it's going to take faith to accomplish the assignments that we're given. I wrote these down. Great gifts require great responsibility. So these gifts that are being given to us, this property that's a gift, it's a spoil, it's a gift. You didn't earn it. It's a gift. And it's going to require great responsibility. It's also going to cause great tests. And it's going to require great faith and faithfulness. And one of the things that we need to fill our hearts with, and we were touching on this, I started to pick up on this on one of the lessons in the past, where the Lord said to guard your heart and keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Or it also says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. So we need to fill our hearts with what God says. Because what you fill your heart with will control you. That's just exactly what that scripture is saying. Be careful how you think, because it'll shape your life. What you fill your heart with will direct you and control you. So we need to be thinking about that. So if you're filled with faith, then that will control you. That will lead you. Faith-filled words will lead you. So will death-filled words. But what we're looking to hear, and God is requiring us, and I believe he's molding us, shaping us, so that we're, our thinking is not of this world. It is of the kingdom. And we have to have kingdom thoughts. Now, turn over with me for a moment to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. And let's look at verse 7. Second Corinthians 5 and verse 7, it says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, that just means you're going to walk by faith, which is unseen, and not by the seen, what you see. Now, turn over to Mark chapter 1 for a moment. I want you to look at a scripture. Mark chapter 1, and look at verse 14. This is significant in the context of what was being shared here by Jesus. But I want us to look at it in context of changing our minds. Verse 14 and 15 in Mark 1, it says, "Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel.'" Now, when you look up that word repent, it means to change one's mind. It means to change one's belief, to change one's mind for better. It means to repent, to basically change your direction, do 180 degrees. Now, in this case, he's talking about those present to repent, change your mind, and believe the gospel. But in this application, if we're going to walk by faith and not by sight, we need to repent. We need to change our thinking. We need to think kingdom thoughts. We need to repent and change our thinking. You hooking up with me here? We can't continue to think like the world. You have to repent and change your thinking. It means to let go of what you're holding on to and embrace something new and better. What is that? The kingdom of God. His way of doing things. We cannot continue to hold on to things that we hold on to. We have to embrace kingdom principles. So we have to repent and change our thinking. And of course, that's what Romans 12:2 says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." And I like the J.B. Phillips. It says, "Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within." See, that's the purpose of getting our hearts filled with His Word, His way of doing things. Now, let me just read this. Well, you can turn over. Let's go back to John. John chapter 9 and verse 5. Jesus said, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Jesus said that. "As long as I'm in this earth, I am the light of the world." So when you look at the life of Jesus, he said, "I am the light of the world." Jesus was on this, when he was on this earth, he took full responsibility for the darkness in this earth. He took full responsibility for it. Everywhere Jesus went, he brought heaven's atmosphere. He preached the kingdom of God. And so, you can see in Matthew 6:10, he said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. He preached the kingdom of God in the earth to bring heaven's government and heaven's atmosphere into this earth. And now, let's go to Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5. We'll look at the Sermon on the Mount. And look at verse 14. What does it say? Ye are the light of the world. See, he's no longer in it now. Ye are the light of the earth, the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So he said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But now he's decreeing here, now he's still in the earth, but he said, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And so here, we are the light of the world, and we are commanded in Mark 16 to go into all the earth, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they will speak with new tongues, and so forth. So we have been given commandment. We now are the light of the world. Now hold that thought. Wherever we are sent, we are anointed not to leave it the way we found it. We are the light of the world. We are his disciples. One of our assignments is to lift the curse off of where we are sent. Just the same way when Jesus came in, he lifted the curse off of those that came to him. He healed them. He healed the maimed. He cast out demons and devils. He raised the dead. So are we. We are the light of this world. So we are to bring heaven's government, heaven's kingdom to this earth as the body of Christ. And so for us, we, the body of Christ, are responsible for the darkness in this earth. We are responsible for doing something about it, not talking about it, not complaining about it. We, the body of Christ, are the light of the world. And we have been anointed and are anointed to do something about it. He said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do because I go unto my Father. And whatever you ask or demand in my name, that will I do because I go unto my Father. So we are the body of Christ, and we are to affect the darkness in this earth. Not talk about it, not complain about it, not say, man, what are we going to do now? We are to walk by faith and not by sight. And the words that we speak should be words that we are filling our hearts with from the Word of God and getting direction from God the Father through the Spirit of God. and we should be changing this earth. The church should. Not being pushed and demanded, but we should be demonstrating, not dictating. You understand what I mean? The gospel shouldn't be dictated, but it should be demonstrated. And so the demonstrations, the works, will speak for themselves. And that's what Jesus said. So all of this is going to have to be done by faith. Now, when we were over here in 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Faith can see. See, now we know Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But faith, that we're talking about things not seen in the natural, but faith can see. Because Jesus said, I do those things that I see my Father do. So he saw things by faith. And so faith can see. So, take a look at this particular scripture verse over in Isaiah. Go over to Isaiah 46 for a moment. Isaiah 46. And verse 9 and 10. It says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. In other words, he's going to do his word. The Message translation of verse 10 says, from the very beginning, telling you what the ending will be. All along, letting you in on what is going to happen, assuring you, I'm in this for the long haul. I'll do exactly what I set out to do. He's going to tell us the end. So God will show us what his will is. He's going to show us the end, what his will is. And it's going to take faith to see that and believe it. It's going to be a choice because it's going to look, that's not possible. But he's already showing us what the end is. And that's why people of faith can hook up when he says, I've given you the land, but you ain't got the money. You don't have the influence. You ain't got nothing. And it's way out beyond what you could even think or imagine or do. He's showing you the end. So faith can believe that and see it. Faith can see. But it requires you to believe what he said and say it. And when we do, those faith-filled words will give him the right to move on our behalf. See, we could sit back and say, see, I believe just like where Pastor Sarah and Pastor Clinton, when Pastor Sarah said that time that the Lord said, you weren't my first choice, but you obeyed. You listened and obeyed. And he hasn't said that about us believing him for what he said about this property, But the principles still apply. If you don't mix faith with what God has spoken, you'll never see it. You'll never have it. You'll never obtain it. Because as a man thinketh, so is he. If you see and if you don't see yourself in it, you'll never have it. You won't own it. You've got to see yourself in it. And those principles apply in our own personal life. If you can't see yourself in it, you'll never have it. If you can't see yourself as owning the company, you'll never own it. You'll just work for them. And so we're seeing through the eyes of faith, we can see the end from the beginning because God is giving us that. He's revealing. Here's an example. And of course, how many people in here have either worked in a business, own a business, or are in a professional business? How many? So there's some here, right? In business, when you embark on a plan, you have the end in mind, don't you? You do. You have the end in mind when you put a plan together. So you can see where you want to go because you're determining the end. That's the same thing with God. It's no different. Those principles still apply. You have to, by faith, see the end. And God has already been revealing what that end is in sight over here. Let's go to Genesis 14 for a moment. Genesis 13. We have to see by faith. Now, yes, I understand it says we walk by faith and not by sight, but I'm talking about we have to see what God has revealed to us by faith. And we have to see ourselves in that. Genesis 13 and verse 14 says, "And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up thine eyes and do what? Look." Everybody awake tonight? Okay. It says, "Lift up thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward, from all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered." What does he say in verse 17? "Arise, walk through the land which you see." Which you see. Your feet will never take you where your mind has never been. In other words, as a man thinketh, so is he. If you can't see yourself in it, your feet won't take you there. If you see yourself broke, you'll never see yourself. If you don't see yourself as prosperous, if you don't see yourself as healed, your feet won't take you there. Does that make sense? Your feet are going to take you to everything but you're going to see yourself as sick. You're going to see yourself doing things that a healed person wouldn't do or a prosperous person wouldn't do. You've got to see yourself that way. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. So if that's the truth, then why do we see ourselves under a curse of sickness or lack? Why do we see ourselves that way? See? It takes faith to see yourselves the way God sees you. It's going to take faith to see that. Now, you've got to, and of course, Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You're going to end up the way you think. You will end up that way. Now, I had a thought, and I looked this up. When we were reading John 13, it says that those that obey my commandments, he said, you are my disciples, or all men will know that you are my disciples. And I was thinking, the word ambassador came to my thinking. And I looked up, what are the responsibilities of a U.S. ambassador? They are accredited diplomatic leaders sent by the federal government to serve as official representatives of who? The United States. The duties of a U.S. ambassador include protecting and promoting national interests, maintaining diplomacy, organizing visits and welcoming visitors and so forth, supporting resolutions. But they are to promote the interests of the United States. We, as ambassadors for Christ, are to promote the kingdom of God. We are to stand against or protect the interests of the kingdom of God. And so we are here to lift the darkness and the curse off of this earth as representatives of this kingdom. We're not of this world. We're the light of the world, and we are from and we are anointed of God as representatives, as ambassadors for God. And so we are to come into this earth realm. We're reborn. We're brand new creatures in Christ, anointed of God, to take back what the devil has been stripped of. He's been stripped of his power and his authority, and the only reason he has any kind of sway or dominion in this earth is because people are giving it to him. And we, as ambassadors, are to protect and to do what? To preach the gospel and to set people free and to lift the curse that's been paid for. And so I believe that God is about ready to expand the borders of this ministry, because the people here are understanding their role as ambassadors so that he can do what? Send the people. Send them of all walks of life, all manners of life, so that the curse can be lifted from them and darkness can be broken over their lives. But it's going to take faith in God and faith in his anointing upon us and what he's anointed us with to do that. I believe that. Now, we are representing another government. And because faith can see, we can see us laying hands on the sick. We can see us delivering people with demons. We can see ourselves raising the dead. See, if you can't see that, you will never do it. You'll never walk in it. You have to see that and believe it. And so here's the thought. If we can see something other people can't see, then we can go places other people can't go. You can have something other people can't have, and you can do something other people can't do. Why? Because you can see it by faith. You can see the end. And that which you see by faith, you can have. Biblically, you can have. And if you can see what other people can't see, you can go places other people can't go. You can have things that other people will never have. And you can do things that other people can't do. Because you're now living in another kingdom, controlled by different rules. Does that make sense? So we walk by faith. And we overcome by faith. And we live by faith. And faith comes from our spirit. Comes out of our spirit. It does not come out of our intellect. That's why it's important that you get this down in this good ground. What is the good ground? It's this spirit that has been changed. This spirit of ours is just like Jesus. We are the body of Christ. It is no longer I that liveth, but who? Christ that liveth in me. So this spirit has been made holy. So this is good ground. And the incorruptible seed, the perfect seed, the Word of God, is being planted in this pure spirit. And it's going to bring forth a harvest of anointed, faith-filled words that will accomplish what He desires it to accomplish. See, but it's going to take us seeing by faith. It's going to take that. Faith sees the invisible. So when you think about this, you see, the devil, he's not really, per se, he's not really after you. He's after the faith in you. Because if that faith gets perfected, he's done. Is over. So faith in you is really what he's after. Not just you. See, because if he can stop you and you're productive for God, then he stopped someone who's affecting his kingdom. Which is really all an adversary does. They want to go after really those that are affecting their kingdom. And so, where we are, we need to take stock of what we see. Are we seeing? Are we walking by faith? And are we seeing things and being affected by what we see? Our five physical senses. Are we seeing what God has revealed? And the reason I say that is corporately, and you can apply this individually, but corporately, what God is endeavoring to do is to knit the minds of this body here so that it's unified in its words and its direction and its heart, so that there's unity of the words that we speak. So that when we make professions as we have. God is revealing. And I'll tell you, when the Lord began to speak to me and impress upon me to begin to speak at that time, they called it the Nanuet Mall, I'm going to tell you, the first time I had that impression, I thought, what do we need that for? I thought, man, that's okay. And that's exactly what Pastor Sarah said when I said it to her. She said, what do we need that for? I said, we don't. Because we really don't. I said, God does. And that's the truth. So things that God will direct us to do, we're going to benefit from it in some ways, but it's really for the people. It's really for this earth. And where we're concerned individually, if you can see yourself as a prosperous person, that prosperity flows where? Into the kingdom of God to further it. So we need to be looking at how do we see ourselves financially? Do we see ourselves any better than where we are? Are we exercising our faith? Do we see ourselves owning something? Do we see ourselves, are we working our faith, or are we just waiting for something to kind of drop on us? See, in the word of the Lord that came through here recently from Dr. Kirvin was entrepreneurship and ideas and inventions. We need to be releasing and believing those words. And one of the things that it takes is meditating on it. And meditating is beginning to say, Lord, I believe that you're giving me ideas. I believe you're giving me inventions and creative ideas. And begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. See, and initially your thought is, I can't, I don't see myself doing that. But you will the more you meditate on it. The more you speak God's word, and the more that you begin to speak the things that he said. He said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Father, give me the wisdom to own this. Give me the wisdom to create. Why not? See, he's looking for people who will take him at his word and begin to profess it. And that's where your mind will get you in trouble. Because your mind will say, I could never do that or never own that, never have that. And what God is looking for is a people that'll say, regardless of what your natural mind is saying, you begin to take that and thank him for it and believe him and say, Lord, by faith, this is not by feeling, by faith, I trust you. I trust you because you're not a man that you would lie. And every good and perfect gift comes down from heaven above, with whom there's no variableness nor shadow of turning. Your word is forever settled. If you said that I could ask for wisdom, and what things soever I desire, when I pray, believe I receive them, I believe for this and this and this. And I'm telling you, the things that God will give to those that'll believe will stagger the natural mind, but not to the person of faith. Because once you believe for something, see, I in the natural, my natural mind struggled a little bit at first at releasing words to that. Because, I'll be honest with you, at first it was difficult to see myself and see us in it. It was. But the more I said it, the more I released those words. I'm not talking about for a day or two. I'm talking about month after month, year after year after year after year after year. I'm talking 5, 6 years. The more I said it, I see ourselves over there. I see it. I can see it. I can see it. We've got that. I can see it. And so little by little, things began to unfold and reveal, and God began to say, you're going to take this building. And then recently he said, I'm going to give this to you as a spoil. But you've got to see yourself in it to have it. And just like me, yeah, at first your mind, you're like, I don't see myself doing that. Well, I'm telling you, you keep saying it. Faith-filled words will bring it to pass. I don't care what it is. Faith-filled words will bring it to pass. Whatever it is. And so, what God is looking for us is that we begin to take that which He has told us we have. He said, I've given it to you. That means we own it. See, He's already given us the end. He's already told us. And now He's beginning to unravel and show us how to take it. How to do it. And of course, the primary thing is faith. And you've got to see yourself taking it, see yourself owning it, see yourself living in it. You got to see yourself in it. Now, what happens? Think about this. When you see yourself living in something, what do you start doing? Dressing it up. You start thinking about, okay, we're going to put this here, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. You start fixing it up in your mind. You start thinking, well, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. Why? Because you own it. You don't wait to think about what you're going to do when you get in. Faith sees it done, and faith begins to prepare us living in it. And that's the same thing. Brother Hagin used to say it. He just said it another way. He said, if God's called you to preach, he said, what do? You start putting messages together. You see yourself getting up and preaching. So what do? You may not physically be doing it, but what do? He said, you start preparing messages because you see yourself doing that. So if you see yourself owning a business or doing something, you need to start thinking that way. You need to start thinking like an owner. What does an owner do? They start thinking like one. What are the things that owners have to think about? Prepare yourself mentally. See yourself in it, doing it. And that's what we're doing. We're asking God, just like, what did the word of the Lord on Friday say? That poor is passing over opportunities repeatedly. That's what Pastor Judy by the Holy Ghost said. Poor means passing over opportunities repeatedly. And so she was saying, we need to pray for these four things. And one of them was the wisdom to know how to manage the money and the flood of money that's going to come in. And I said, that be me. Because to manage millions, you need wisdom. And what do I mean by that? You know down here how to spend it, who to spend it with. Because it's really not difficult when you have a little bit of money and you don't have a lot of friends. But you get a lot of money and all of a sudden you got a lot of friends. And they want to be your friend and they want to do business with you. And you better know by the Holy Ghost how to spend it and how to manage it. And you know that's the truth. The minute you got some money, you had friends. And it's no different in the church. All of a sudden, people come out of the woodwork. Can you help a brother out? He's laughing because you know the truth. We get it a lot here. Can you help me out? I'm in a jam. Ring-a-ding-ding. Can you help? And you better know that you should or you shouldn't. And we're only dealing with that now. Get some multi-millions and see how many people come and knock on your door. I'm telling you, they will. And you better know by the Holy Ghost. And you better see yourself in it, managing and saying, by the Holy Ghost, I've received the wisdom of God, and I believe that I have a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, and I believe I know how to manage it. See, that's faith talking. Not, oh God, give me, no, I believe because you said to ask, I believe I have it, and now I say I have the wisdom of God and I know how to manage millions. And you have to do that and continually do it, and then you're not playing, what do they say, catch up. Because there'll be no time for catch up when it happens. God is, what did Pastor Clinton used to say here? God forecasts and then He fulfills. And so people of faith, when He forecasts, He's expecting us to see it and to believe it and to begin to profess. And if the word of the Lord comes that you need to pray for wisdom, you don't go, yeah, that's nice. No. You receive it and you begin to believe it and you begin to profess it so that when you need it, it's there. And it's no sweat. No sweat. Because you're not doing it anyways. The words that your Father is speaking are going to give you the direction. So I want to just share those thoughts for this evening that the Holy Ghost was impressing me to just share that when the word of the Lord comes forth, he put that real strong in my heart as we close New Year's, that which we have heard, we need to mix with faith or we don't benefit. And it's the same thing here. That which is spoken by faith, we need to see ourselves in it. See ourselves doing it. And faith, we walk by faith and not by sight in the natural realm, but faith sees. Faith can see. And what faith sees, see, this is what we were saying. If you can see something other people can't see, you can have things other people can't have. You can go places that other people can't go, and you can do things other people can't do. Because they're walking by sight and not by faith. See. But we're going to walk in the blessings of God, we are, and we are going to have what the world only dreams of. We are going to have it. We're going to own it, and we're going to do it. Because what is the word? This is the hub of activity for this earth. See, now that right there, people go, yeah, right. Okay, then you just sit on the sidelines and watch it happen. Because God is looking for people that'll say, I'm in. I'm in. I'm going to say what you say, Lord. Even when my mind doesn't really hook up, but my heart does. And I believe you. Praise God. So let's hook up. Let's speak words of faith in the things that God has spoken. See, when you think about this, when God speaks, He's revealing, He's showing you His will. So you can see it. He's revealing it. He's unfolding it. That which has not been seen is now seen. He didn't reveal that 10 years ago. I don't know why he didn't reveal it to Pastor Clinton or Pastor Sarah. I can't answer that question. He didn't. But it really doesn't matter, because we're hooking up and we're going to take the land. Praise God. I'm finished. How many see themselves in that property over here? I mean, don't just do it because somebody next to you got their hand up. If you don't believe it, you don't see it, you don't need to put your hand up, because then you'd be lying. But if you see yourself over there, then raise your hand. And it's okay not to raise your hand. But as an affirmation, if you see yourself over there, see, then that just means you're in. And if you're not there yet, then begin to ask God to show you. Begin to have him show you what, and unfold and reveal what his will is to you. See, I believe we're there. And as Pastor Judy said to me, she said, okay, so now we're there. What's next? And I said, well, you know, you're absolutely right. What is next? Because we're already in that. And his ways and thoughts are higher than ours. So if we've already seen that, then what's next? Because she's absolutely right. You know, sometimes you need somebody to remind you of some of these things. Faith people will remind faith people of things that they should be doing in faith. What are you thinking? And I said, you know, you're absolutely right. Absolutely. You know, you want to keep your faith working. That pleases God. Amen. Glory to God. Anything get your mind, get your heart stirred, or get your heart to thinking, and see, what did Jesus say? Repent ye. Change your thinking. We need to change our thinking. Come up a little bit. If we're thinking a certain way, you know what? Change it. Think kingdom government. You're an ambassador for this kingdom. You need to think that way. Because otherwise, then you'd be a fraud, wouldn't you? You'd be a fraud. And of course, in the United States, if you were an ambassador in another country, and you didn't promote its values, they'd yank you real quick. So as the body of Christ, we are ambassadors. We are to promote the kingdom in this earth. That means wherever we go, we should leave it better because we came there. And that's what's happening in this community. We're leaving it better than what it was before. Amen. Glory to God. Father, I thank you for this time that we've had together. Thank you for these words from heaven. Thank you that the words that we've heard have been deposited in our hearts, and we thank you that your word, if received, will change our thinking. It'll transform it. And so, Father, as we receive your word and mix it with faith, it'll change our very thinking. And as we think, we will believe. As we think, it'll change the direction in our life. What we even embrace, what we do, what we talk about. So, Father, I thank you. I believe my heart has changed and my thinking has come up higher to think like you, Jesus. And we give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen.